Welcome to the Deep Dive. Ever stop to think about how that coffee you grabbed this morning, or that new phone, actually gets from whoever made it to you?
It's a fascinating journey, isn't it? Today, we're really digging into that backstage process, place, or distribution, as it's known in the marketing world.
Exactly. We've got some great material here that explores this often overlooked, but absolutely vital part of business. It's basically the hidden network that gets us, well, everything.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just for business students or marketing pros?
No, not at all. If you're just curious about how the things you buy show up on the shelf or, at your door, this is for you.
Our mission really is to pull out the key ideas about how companies get their products out there, the channels, the middlemen, without drowning you in jargon.
Right. So let's start right there. What exactly is place or distribution?
Okay. So at its heart, place covers everything a business does to make its products available. Hmm. Getting them to the right location at the right time for the consumer. It's often just called distribution, and it's a core part of the marketing mix, one of the famous 7 P's.
Yeah, the 7 P's.
And, well, maybe the first big choice a company has to make here is, do we sell straight to the customer, or do we use other businesses to help us, intermediaries?
Ah, okay. Yeah. So, the difference between buying veg directly from a farmer versus grabbing it at the supermarket.
Exactly that. And those different routes, those are what we call distribution channels. Our sources lay out a few main types. The simplest one is the zero-level channel. Direct distribution.
Zero level. Producer straight to consumer.
Yep. Producer, consumer.
Got it. So like you said, the farmer's market stall, or maybe an artist selling prints from their own website.
Yep.
Bespoke furniture makers, that kind of thing.
Perfect examples. It often works well for, smaller businesses, very niche products, or where that direct customer relationship is really important.
Okay.
But if you want to sell to a lot more people, you usually need some help. That brings us to the one-level channel.
One level. So producer, retailer, re-consumer.
Exactly.
That feels like. Well, that's probably how most of us buy things day to day, right? Clothes, electronics.
Yeah.
The company makes it, sells it to a store. We buy it from the store.
That's typically it. Very common for many consumer goods. And then there's another layer we can add. The two-level channel.
Two-level. Let me guess. Producer, i.e. wholesaler, e-retailer, e-consumer.
You got it. Introduces the wholesaler into the mix.
Right, wholesalers. So their job is basically buy huge amounts from the producer, then sell smaller batches to lots of different shops.
Pretty much. They buy in bulk, break it down.
That makes sense for things made in massive quantities, like soft drinks or maybe snacks, things that need to be everywhere.
Absolutely. Wholesalers can make things much smoother, especially for big producers. They handle storage, sort out deliveries to many different retailers. Simplifies things a lot for the producer.
Yeah, I can see that.
But our sources do point out a potential downside. The producer might lose some control over, say, how the product is displayed or promoted in the actual store.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Less direct influence.
Right. And there's also this dynamic where sometimes big retailers might try to cut costs by skipping the wholesaler and going straight to the producer if they can.
Oh, interesting. So there's a bit of a power play sometimes in who deals with whom.
Definitely. That can really affect prices and even just whether you can find the product easily. It's a key part of the strategy.
Okay, so wholesalers are one type of intermediary. What other kinds are there? You mentioned distributors.
Yes, distributors. Now, sometimes people use wholesaler and distributor almost interchangeably, but there's often a difference. Distributors tend to be, well, more specialized.
Specialized how?
They're usually independent firms focusing on a narrower range of products, often from just a few specific producers. The example given is Mobis India for Hyundai parts.
Ah, right. So they know that specific product line inside out.
Exactly. They bring local market knowledge. They often have the logistics already set up for those kinds of products, and they can offer more specialized support. A wholesaler might stock thousands of different items, but a distributor often works more closely with the producers they represent. Sometimes they even have exclusive rights in a certain area.
Okay, that makes the distinction clearer. So specific car part, probably a distributor involved somewhere. What about agents or brokers? They were mentioned too.
Right. Agents and brokers are a bit different again because they don't actually buy or own the goods themselves.
Okay.
Their role is more about making connections. They bring buyers and sellers together, help negotiate the deal, that sort of thing. They work on commission.
Like a real estate agent. They connect buyers and sellers but don't own the houses.
Perfect analogy. Real estate, insurance, travel. Those are common areas for agents and brokers.
Got it. And then finally, the ones we all know. Retailers.
Yes, the final link in many chains. Retailers are simply the businesses selling directly to us, the end consumers. Supermarkets, corner shops, department stores, boutiques, online shops.
All retailers.
And it's a good point our sources make using Coca-Cola as an example. For Coke, their main customer is often the retailer, like 7-Eleven or Tesco. Not necessarily you or me buying the can.
Interesting perspective. Shapes how they approach things, I guess.
Definitely. Their distribution and marketing are geared towards servicing those retail customers effectively.
Okay, so those cover the sort of traditional players.
Mm-hmm.
But things have changed so much, haven't they? What about these specialty channels the sources talk about? Seems like a different way of doing things.
Yeah, these are often more indirect routes, sometimes skipping the usual retail step. E-commerce is the huge one, obviously.
Nuts. Amazon, brand websites.
Right. The benefits are pretty clear. Potential global reach, open 2047, maybe lower overheads than physical stores.
Huge impact. Then there are other things, still physical, but maybe less direct, like vending machines.
Exactly. You stick them in places with lots of foot traffic, offices, stations, hospitals, great for impulse buys, snacks, drinks, little essentials.
Convenient.
Very convenient. And low staffing costs are a plus. But the downside is obviously limited choice, and they need constant refilling and maintenance.
True. And I think telemarketing and mail order were mentioned. Feels a bit old school now.
They definitely feel like they're from a different era, don't they? Telemarketing, selling over the phone, using databases can be cheap for reaching lots of people, but, well,
don't be annoying.
Let's just say it runs the risk of being seen as intrusive.
Yeah.
And mail order, you know, catalogs, flyers through the post. It used to be big, especially for repeat customers, but digital options have really taken over.
Still, these specialty channels must have some appeal for businesses to still use them in various forms. What's the advantage?
Well, several things, according to the sources. You might get higher profit margins because you're cutting out some intermediaries.
Okay. More direct control.
Potentially, yeah. Greater control over your brand image and pricing, too. Plus, they let you reach people who maybe don't easily get to traditional shops or who just really value that direct delivery or instant access, like with a vending machine at work.
So it's about finding specific niches or meeting specific needs, perhaps?
Often, yes. Reaching the customer at the exact right place and time.
Okay, so we have all these options. Direct, one level, two level, specialty channels.
Yeah.
How does a business actually choose? It sounds pretty complicated.
It is a big strategic decision, yeah. And lots of things feed into it. First off, the product itself is key.
How so?
Well, think about perishable goods, fresh food, flowers. They need fast, short channels. You can't have them sitting in warehouses for weeks.
Makes sense. Speed is critical.
Then there's your target market. How many customers are there? Where are they? How do they like to shop?
Hmm.
A luxury brand might focus on exclusive boutiques or direct online sales.
Whereas a budget brand wants to be in every supermarket.
Exactly. Reach versus exclusivity. Time sensitivity is another factor. Urgent medical supplies need different routes than, say, books.
And are there legal constraints sometimes?
Absolutely. Some products, like pharmaceuticals or alcohol, have strict regulations about how they can be sold and distributed. That dictates channel choices.
Okay.
And ultimately, it often comes down to a cost-benefit analysis. What are the potential profits versus the costs of each channel? How much reach do we get? How much control do we keep versus give up?
Lots to weigh up. It feels like this whole area must be changing constantly, especially now. Do the sources talk about that, the modern evolution?
They do. One interesting trend is the rise of circular business models.
Circular, meaning?
Thinking about the whole product life cycle. So distribution now includes getting products back for reuse, repair, recycling. Think of phone companies offering trade-ins or electronics firms setting up repair services, often using their existing channels.
Ah, integrating sustainability right into the logistics.
Exactly. And that needs good communication, maybe incentives to get customers to participate.
And beyond sustainability, just the pace of change.
Oh, absolutely. Technology, especially e-commerce, is a massive driver. Consumer behavior shifts too. We expect convenience, seamless online options, and market trends like sustainability and digital access are huge.
So distribution strategies can't stand still. They have to adapt.
Constantly. They need to fit with how people buy things now and also align with, you know, the company's overall marketing goals across all the other P's. It's all connected.
Okay, so wrapping this up, it's clear that distribution, this place element, is way more than just trucks and warehouses.
Definitely.
It's a really strategic part of business. It dictates how we actually get our hands on things, whether it's a simple direct sale or this complex web of intermediaries, wholesalers, retailers, websites.
The path a product takes is carefully planned and always evolving.
So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Next time you buy something, just pause for a second. Think about how it likely got to you, what channels were involved, and how did that affect your experience or even the price?
And looking ahead, with technology racing forward and what we expect as consumers always changing, what could distribution look like next? What new ways of getting things might emerge? Definitely something to ponder.